To make some mention of some things that are happening here at VCF. Ladies, this Saturday is going to be Woven. That stands for Women of Victory Enjoying New Life. And it's always a power-packed, awesome time for ladies. So ladies, come this Saturday at 10 a.m. and have a good time in the Lord. Also this Sunday, we're going to have our church picnic. And if you want to come, if you can't come for the service, come for the picnic, amen. If anybody has any of those canopies that you could lend us for that day, please bring them, and that'd be a blessing to us to shade us from the sun. So if you can bring that, and then we're gonna have a chicken barbecue. And if you want to bring anything else, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Let who? Yeah, Lisa, right here. Wave your hands. All right. Let Miss Lisa know if you have a canopy that you can bring. And it's going to be a good time. Praise God. And then there's more information for you on the back there. Also, too, you know, here at VCF, we don't pass a bucket, but we do have a container in the back. And you can put all your offerings and gifts in there. If you make a check, make it out to VCF. So let's pray over our offerings right now. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us everything. And Lord, when we give to you, Father, you will multiply it, you will increase it, and you will bless us. So Father, bless every gift and every giver tonight. Multiply it back unto them, Father. And we give you thanks and praise that it'll go forth into your kingdom and do great things. We honor and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now you're ready for the word? Amen. Hallelujah. We love the word here. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. How many has ever had a need? All right, a need. How many has a want? You want things, right? And how many of you have desires that are yet to be fulfilled? Okay, for every need, for every want, and for every desire, I have an answer for you. God is our provider. Say, God is my provider. And I want you to know he will provide your needs. He will provide your wants. And he will provide your desires to come to pass. Amen? And it's when you delight yourself in God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So him meeting your desires is in direct relation to you delighting yourself in him. Amen? But we have a good God. And our God, not only is he able, he is willing to provide for you. You know, he planned your life and he looked ahead and he saw what you're going to need. And because he saw it ahead of time, he has it ready waiting for you when it's necessary. Amen? And in Genesis chapter 22... verse 14, and we're going to look at this story, but I just want you to see this verse for now. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Amen? Let's say that with Abraham. Say, the Lord is my provider. So Abraham saw something about God, and it is a compound name of God made up of two names, Jehovah and Jireh. It's actually called Yireh, but when you say Yireh, that kind of messes up the song, doesn't it? Jehovah Yireh, you know, if you ever heard that song. But so this is a compound name of God. Now, to fully understand what this means, I got to tell you briefly about Jehovah, and then we'll get into the whole meaning of this, all right? Now, the word Jehovah, it's often listed in your Bible in capital letters as Lord, L-O-R-D. And the Hebrew name is Yahweh. And it means that God is the self-existent one. It means that he doesn't change. It means that he is, all right? He always exists, okay? He is the one who in himself possesses essential life, and he has permanent existence. He's the one who always exists. He's eternal and unchangeable, okay? So when you combine Jehovah with Jireh, you get one who is self-existent, one who always exists, one who will always exist, and he's never going to change. Amen? So if God provided for you in the past, he will provide for you in the present, and he will provide for you in the future, because along with Jireh, he is Jehovah. He is the one who doesn't change. He's the self-existent one. He's the one who has life in himself. Okay? And obviously, if I had some more time, I could go into greater detail. So he's not going to change this about himself. If he was your provider at one time, he will always be your provider. And there's nothing that he can't provide you with. I mean, he created the world, didn't he? If you don't have something you need, he can make it for you. Amen? So, with each name that the Lord reveals himself, it helps us know him better. Aren't you glad that you can know God by names? And with each name that God shows us, he reveals his character, his nature, and so the reason we study the names of God is to know him better. And you can call him by name. So, you know, the better you get to know God, let me just say some things about his name. Go with me to John chapter 17. I found this to be incredible. John 17. There are certain things that God wants done with his name. Did you know that? Look at John 17 and verse 6. This is Jesus talking here. He said, I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to manifest his name. He wants his name to be known. He wants his name to be present. Because when you mention the name of Jesus, things happen. His name is the switch that releases the power of God. Okay? Another thing that I saw that God wants done with his name, go down to verse 26. And see, we're going to look at the names of God as how they relate to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You know one thing about God's name? You can't take the God who is and say he was. If he was, he is, and he will always be. He does not change. If he was the healer a week ago, he's the healer today. It doesn't matter how big the disease is, he's still the healer. He is the Savior. Amen? And he has power to save. For me, look at verse 26. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them. And I notice another thing that God wants done with his name. He wants his name declared. Everybody say Jesus. If there was any devil, their knees are trembling right now. Did you know that just the mention of his name makes demons tremble? That ought to put some confidence in you. So God wants his name to be manifested. He wants his name to be declared. And he wants his name to be proclaimed. Go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. And verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up to show in you my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Where does he want his name declared? Throughout all the earth. So he wants to manifest his name. He wants to proclaim his name. And he wants his name declared. All right? Now, when we pray, how do we pray? What do we use to make our prayers effective? His name, right? Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name. Why? Because in his name is the key to all of God's best. It's the key to all of God's goodness. The name of Jesus gives you access to anything you need in heaven, to anything you need from God's throne, to any promise. The name of Jesus brings the power from there to here right now. I can remember when Peter and John went to the temple, and they were at the gate beautiful, and there was a lame man there, and he was asking people for money, right? Because he was poor, he couldn't work because he was lame. And when Peter and John got to him, something happened. Peter said, look at me, and the guy was expecting to receive something. And they said, silver and gold I don't have. Didn't mean that they were broke. It just didn't mean they had their wallet with them. Okay? But he said, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. Do you realize when they mentioned the name of Jesus, when they proclaimed the name of Jesus, when they declared the name, when they manifested that name, that power came into that man that totally, instantly healed him. That man did not get healed until the name was released. So there's something to God's name. Now, last week we talked about El Shaddai. God is more than enough. Woo, God is more than enough. He's too much. Amen? So this week we're going to talk to you about how God provides. Because that is a name of his, Jehovah Jireh. And because he's called provider, provision is what he does. If you know someone who's a welder, what do they do? If you know someone who's a salesman, what do they do? If you know someone who's a teacher, what do they do? Amen. So if we know a provider, then we know that he provides. And I want you to leave here tonight so full of faith, knowing that God provides, that there's not a need that's going to come at you that you're going to worry about. Okay? Why? Because our God is a provider. And as we get into his name, God's name is great. He has a great name. Jesus came in the name of his Father. He came representing all the names, all who God is. What did Jesus say to his disciples? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was representing all of heaven's best. Hallelujah. So, what do we see? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. And let's look at this story to get a better idea. And I'm going to finish really strong tonight. I'm going to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God provides. And if you leave here tonight doubting whether or not God provides, that's not my fault. Because I'm going to present so much evidence, it's going to show beyond a reasonable doubt that our God provides your needs, wants, and desires. Because that's just who He is. It is His nature to provide. It is His nature to take care of you. It is His nature to make sure that you have everything you need to do what He's called you to do. That's His nature. That's who He is. All right, so Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. So what do we see here first? I want you to notice, look at that phrase, after these things. This was a point in Abraham's life where he had walked with God for several years. He had seen how God was absolutely faithful in everything that He said. God said that He was going to make Abraham a father, and He did. God said He was going to bless Abraham, and He did. God said He was going to exalt His name, and He did. I mean, Abraham is so famous, we're talking about him thousands of years after he's gone to be in heaven. I mean, his name, God said, I will make your name great. I'm telling you, when you know the God, when you know His name, He'll make your name great. God will share His greatness with you because you know Him, because you're in relationship with Him. His greatness will rub off on you. That's good to know. So He said, after these things, there were several things that God did in Abraham's life up to this point. When he marched into the unknown, God brought him to where he needed to be. When Abraham faced challenges, God protected him. When he faced famine, God delivered him. Okay? So this is where Abraham is in his life. He has grown in his relationship with God. He has matured. And we're going to see how this affects him. Abraham wholeheartedly submitted to God's request. You know how God deals with us? Line upon line and precept upon precept. God is a God of step one, step two, step three. Our God orders our steps. And every once in a while, you think that going from step C to D is a big leap, but you can take that leap of faith. Amen? But it's still a step. God deals with us in steps. Okay? Because our Christian life is like a walk. We're supposed to walk in the light. We're supposed to walk by faith. How do you walk? You walk one step at a time, putting one foot in front of the other. That's how you walk. Our life is supposed to be a walk. Okay? Let's go to verse 2. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get to the into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Do you know what happens in a burnt offering? If you were going to offer a cow in a burnt offering, you would first of all kill that cow. Then you would place that cow on an altar. You would light a fire, and that cow would not get up from that altar. Okay? And Abraham, he offered several burnt offerings to God in his life. He knew exactly what it meant. This wasn't the first offering that God asked of Abraham. But God asks Abraham to give the greatest gift he's ever given. God understands the love that Abraham has for Isaac. You give your only son whom you love. God knew how much Abraham loved him. God is fully aware of Abraham's thoughts about Isaac. So he asks Abraham to give the greatest gift that he's ever given in his life, the thing that he loves the most, the thing that he believed God for 25 years, something that was so precious to Abraham. I can't believe that God will ever ask anything of me. Listen, the more you grow in God, the more you're going to have to give to God. To whom much is given, much is required. And I know some people are thinking, okay, God, don't give me much. The more God gives you, the more he's going to require of you. But listen, just because God requires more, don't be afraid of growing in God. Don't be afraid of growing in the knowledge of God. Okay? Because let me tell you something. Anything you give to God, you do not lose. Whatever you give to God, it leaves your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. It goes into your future. Any gift, anything that you give to God, it never leaves your life, but it goes into your future. And we're going to see this. So what did Abraham do? He sowed a seed for the whole earth. You got to understand, what God was asking him was going to affect the whole earth. All right, take your son, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. And how can we tell that Abraham grew in God? Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early. It didn't say he woke up in a nervous sweat. It didn't say how scared he was. See, when you grow in faith, you grow in confidence towards God. And because you grow in faith, He's able to ask more of you, and you know that you can trust him because he's asked you for stuff in the past, and you gave it to him, and he gave you more. When God asked Abraham to leave his home, was he faithful to guide him? Was he faithful to give him more than what he left? So ultimately, in leaving his home, he didn't lose, he gained. Because he was doing what God asked of him. So he left his home, and he ended up getting more land than he ever had when he was home. He got more descendants than he could ever have in the amount of brothers and sisters. God said that last week, we got to go to the beach. Gabriel got to see the beach for the first time. And as we were walking toward the water, in Wildwood, it's a long stretch of sand. And I said, can you imagine, Gabriel, and Joshua, my nephew, was with us. I said, can you imagine, guys? I said, this is how many descendants Abraham has. I said, this is how big our family is. I said, look at this sand. That's how big our family is. Our spiritual family is like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Too many that you can't be counted. Say, I'm part of a big family. Oh, and wait till you get to the family reunion at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have ourselves a party. Now, Moriah is an interesting place. Did you know that Moriah was the place that Solomon built the temple? Did you know that Moriah was probably the place where Jesus Christ was crucified? So, what God was going to ask Abraham, what God asked of Abraham was to give something for the future of the earth. Okay? And just for your reference, you can look up 1 Chronicles, or it's 2 Chronicles 3:1. You can just write that as a reference. That talks about how Moriah is a place where Solomon built the temple. All right? Now let's go on. So Abraham rose up early in the morning. Everybody say in the morning. You know, if he wanted a perfect day to stay in bed longer, this would probably be the day. You know, you tend to stay in bed longer when you don't want to do what you're supposed to be doing. But he got up early. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. Did you know that Abraham split the wood? And he didn't have a wood splitter. Some of you know what that means. And he rose up and went unto the place of which God had. There was no delay. Abraham did not bat an eye at this request. Okay? He responded in faith. Okay? He obeyed quickly. We can tell. You know, you can tell when a person matures spiritually is how quickly they obey. When you obey quickly, you're mature. If it takes you a while to obey, you got some growing to do yet. But how many know we all got some growing to do? Not one of us have arrived where we need to be. So let's keep growing. Don't stop growing. Okay? Abraham, he demonstrated faith. How do we know that? Number one, he took action. Faith acts. Number two, he looked expectantly. God said, I want you to go to the land of Moriah. I'm going to show you when you get there. He looked, see, faith has a look. When faith sees the promise, you can't convince someone who sees a promise that it's not going to happen. You can't do anything to change their mind about what God said is true when someone is in faith. So he looked expectantly. He followed instructions. How many know faith lives by the word? He did what God said. He did it quickly. He acted promptly. Okay? He moved forward. Now, there are times when faith stands, but there are times when faith has to move forward. Moses, my servant, is dead, Joshua. Now I want you to lead these people. That was time for Joshua to move forward. All right? What else did he do? He spoke positively in line with God's word. Notice what he said in verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. He said, we will come again unto you. Abraham fully expected to leave that place with Isaac and to come back with Isaac, even though God said to offer him. Because Abraham knew if he offered Isaac to God that he wouldn't lose him. He was fully convinced, he was fully persuaded that he may not understand how, but he was fully persuaded that no matter what happened to Isaac, God would do a miracle and he would come back to that place with Isaac, and that's what he said. We're going to go worship and we're going to come back. That's a positive statement. That's how faith speaks. He didn't say we might come back. He didn't say we hope to come back. He said we will come back. It was a positive statement. That's how faith talks. Okay? All right. And verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. Faith sees a distance. Faith sees something afar off. It may not be here yet, but it sees it. It's got, he had it in its sights. Okay? He saw the place afar. Listen, you got to see God's provision. You got to see God meeting that need. You got to see God meeting that want. You got to see God meeting that desire. You got to see it if it's going to happen in your life. All right, let's move on. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Oh, hallelujah. Parents, this is for you. You got to demonstrate your faith to your family. Sometimes you got to walk by faith with them. Abraham and Isaac were walking together. He let Isaac carry some of the burden. He put something on Isaac. He gave Isaac a responsibility. He said, you're going to carry the wood. Amen? And when we live by faith, we gotta incorporate our... How many know God calls families? He doesn't just call individuals, he calls families. Before there was ever a church, there was a family. Amen? So he shared the burden with Isaac. He gave Isaac a responsibility. He had to carry the wood. He walked with Isaac together. He was there to explain to Isaac what was happening. Because Isaac asked the question, okay, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Good question, Isaac. I'm so glad you asked that question. Look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, Abraham did not tell Isaac the whole plan. But he walked with them together. And we got to walk with our families by faith. Amen. They may not be where you are. But you can walk with them. You can be there to answer their questions the best you know how. Okay? So Abraham answered the question. In other words, Abraham encouraged Isaac's faith. He said, he pointed Isaac to God. You know what we do with Gabriel? When Gabriel has a need, want, or desire, we tell, Gabriel said, I'd like to have this. And we say, okay, believe God for it. I want Gabriel to know that ultimately in life, it's God who provides. And believe me, as a parent, I want to provide for my kids. But I'm limited as a parent where God is unlimited. And I've seen God do more for Gabriel than I could ever hope to do. But he's being trained, because when he gets older, he's going to look back and he's going to see how he trusted God and God provided. And when he has a need in the future, he's going to look to God and God is going to meet that need. Listen, people aren't your providers. Your job is not your provider. Your job is an avenue that the provider uses. But the job itself is not the provider. God is the provider. If God can provide food to 2 to 3 million people in the desert, don't you think he can provide for you? Come on. So Abraham told Isaac, he said, God will provide. He pointed Isaac to God. Make God the source of all good things. What does it say in James? Our God, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance, all good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance, no shadow of turning. Say, God is my source. And we got to learn to trust God and stop putting our trust in people. Because I will tell you this, right? This is a truth that we all should know. People will let you down at one point or another. You mean, Pastor, you're going to let me down? Yes, I might let you down because I'm a person. But I want to tell you something. God will never let you down. So don't put your trust in me. Put your trust in God. Okay? All right. In verse 9, Abraham, they came to the place which God had told him of. Isn't it awesome how you will get to your destination? if you just keep following God. And I want you to notice it took 3 days. You think they might have felt like turning back on day one? How willing are you to press into what God says? How'd you like to be in the church of Acts? You know they had church every day. Come on. They didn't just have it on Wednesdays and Sundays. They had it every day. Can you imagine some people today? Why are we having church every day? I'm at that church 24/7. Let me tell you something. I can relate to that. You know, sometimes Josiah calls the church home. He says, we're at home. He says, I want to go home. He's talking about the church. Of course, the church is not the building. The church is the people, but you know what I mean. And Abraham, when he got to the place, he built an altar. You know, upon arriving to your destination, make it a place of worship. You know, when you get to where God wants you to be, have a moment of celebration. Have a moment of rejoicing. Abraham, he set up, everywhere he went where God told him to go, he set up an altar. He was used to this. Every place he went to where God said he would worship God, because it was God who brought him there. And if God brings you here, God will sustain you here. Wherever God brings you, he will sustain you and keep you. Then he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He followed through wholeheartedly with what God asked him to do. He did not take away from it at all. He did not try to find a shortcut. If God said offer Isaac, that's what Abraham fully intended to do. He wasn't going to shortchange God. Too many times when God gives us an instruction, we want to shortchange God. We want to find a shortcut on how to do it without not all the details that God said. Well, if you want to shortchange God, maybe we certainly don't want him to shortchange the blessing. If you want the whole blessing, you got to do it with your whole heart. Okay? So he bound Isaac. And, you know, he had insight into what God would do. He did this by faith. You know, faith is unorthodox to feelings, emotions, the natural world, and logic and reason. In other words, when something is done by faith, you cannot understand it by the natural mind. Okay, I tasted this water, it's bitter. How is throwing a tree into the water going to make it sweet? That doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but it makes perfect sense to faith. It doesn't make sense for one man to say, it's not going to rain except at my word. But it does for faith. It doesn't make sense for Jesus to walk on water. How can someone walk on water? But it makes perfect sense to faith. See, faith is unorthodox to feelings, emotions, logic, and reason. So if you were to interview Abraham and you were to ask him, why are you doing this, Abraham? In Abraham's mind, he was doing it by faith. And faith is unorthodox to the natural world. So it's going to seem weird. It's going to seem strange. But in God's mind, it was absolutely on target, because he was following God's instructions. Because Abraham had an insight to God. He had grown in his relationship with God. He had developed in his understanding. He grew in the knowledge of God. He knew exactly that he wasn't going to lose Isaac, no matter what. Hebrews tells us that he believed that Isaac would be resurrected if he died. So he raised that knife knowing that he wasn't going to lose. Say, you can't lose with God. You cannot lose with God. And so he followed through. And verse 11, he had his arms stretched out. He was ready to dot the I and cross the T. And he gets a news flash. You know, the news flash. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. So God was watching Abraham. Remember, this was a test. This was a faith test. This was a if you fear God test. Okay? Sometimes God will ask you to do something just to see what kind of person you really are. Are you a person who's going to follow God wholeheartedly, or are you just a performer, a play actor? You know what they call play actors in the Bible? Hypocrites. Why do they call Hollywood make-believe? They try to make you believe with illusions, but it's not real. Anyway. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. You mean, how come God didn't know it already? Doesn't he know all things? Yes, he does, but he wants to see faith in action. See, faith is more than words. Faith involves action, where your words and your actions have to agree in order for God's power to be there. If your words and your actions don't agree, then you're not really in faith. All right? And he said, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me. Did you know that giving and withholding reveals how you honor? Whether you withhold or whether you give will determine how much you honor something. God said, you have not withheld your only son from me. In other words, Abraham gave the most sacrificial, the greatest gift that God could ever ask of him. Now, aren't you glad that this is not the first thing that God will ask you to do? Amen? God will ask for littler things before the big things. Okay? But I guarantee you that there will come a time when God will ask you for something bigger. So just be ready now. If you see how faithful God is in the little things, you know he'll be faithful in the big things. So if God tells you to leave your house and go travel around the country to help people, you know God is on your side, amen? You know, Dave and Gigi, I want you to know this. God is your provider. And he's going to make sure that he'll provide you with everything you need along the journey. So God got Abraham's attention, and he said, don't touch the lad. And then Abraham looked up, and there was a ram in the thicket. So God substituted a ram for Isaac based on what Abraham said. Do you realize that God did exactly what Abraham said? Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb. Did you know that a sheep is a male lamb? I mean, a ram is a male sheep. You know, sometimes words don't just come out right. A ram is a male sheep. Did you know that Jesus was a male sheep? And then Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. He said, the Lord shall provide. In other words, God looked ahead and saw what he was going to need, and he had it ready. Now, I'm going to give you some things to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt how God provides for you. Amen? Are you ready? Okay, just write this down, Genesis 1:28 through 30. Who provided Adam and Eve with all the food they needed? Was there anything that they lacked? And God provided for them. When they sinned, who made them clothes? God made them clothes. If God can make Adam and Eve clothes, can he give you clothes? All right? That's Genesis 3:21. All right? Genesis 6:19 through 20. Who provided Noah and his family and all the animals on the ark with food? How long did they have to eat? At least a year. If you read the story, they were on that boat for a year. So eight people and how many animals? We don't know the number of animals. But Noah and his family and the animals ate the same food. That tells me that while they were on the ark, they weren't carnivores. You read it. It says that I'll provide food for the animals and for you. Okay? In Genesis 22, we just read the story. God provided a replacement. You know, we're glad for all the replacements that God has given VCF. God has always been faithful to fill the gaps. Amen? God is like caulk. He'll fill the gaps. Okay? Go with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45. I'm going over this quickly because of time, but it's not going to lose any impact. And I'm just going to take a few minutes extra. Is that all right? Just so you know, if it's not all right, I'm still going to take it anyway. Genesis 45, verse 5. Listen, Joseph is a type of Christ, okay? Now listen to Joseph's own testimony. Now therefore, do not be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. It wasn't the brothers that sent him into Egypt. It was God. It's just he used the avenue of slavery to get there. Verse 6. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing or harvest. That's plowing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. In other words, God saw in the future. He saw that there was going to be 7 years of famine, so God put an inside man into Egypt. He put him in there as a slave, but he grew to a position of authority and power, and when the time was right, see, God looked ahead and saw what Israel was going to need, and so he had a provision ready. Joseph was the ram in the thicket to save Israel. And God put him there. Okay? Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste you and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come now to me and don't wait. Tarry not. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. God had land for them, okay? You shall be near unto me. You're going to be close to me. You're going to be in relationship. And you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all you have. In other words, God's got more than enough to cover every need. There's not a need, want, or desire that God can't handle, all right? And there will I nourish you. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. In other words, God sent Joseph in there ahead of time so that Israel would not come to poverty. Because in Goshen, they were blessed. In Goshen, they were taken care of. That was a fertile land. Their cows ate lots of grass. The sheep ate lots of grass. There was camels there. There was goats there. There was good place there. Who provided it? God provided it. See, Joseph is a type of Christ, type of provider. Okay? And behold, your eyes see. See, seeing, foreseeing is a part of Jehovah Jireh. He foresees. And the eyes of my brother Benjamin, it is my mouth that speaks unto you. In other words, Joseph was saying, I'm sharing this with you. So God provided. Israel, Jacob didn't know how he didn't even know there was going to be a famine of 7 years. But God did. And God had that provision ahead of time. So when the bad times hit, come on. Listen, you don't have to fear bad times. You don't have to fear economic hardship. Why? You have a Jehovah Jireh. You have a personal provider for you who will provide. Exodus 16:35, when Israel was hungry, 2 to 3 million people. Where did the bread come from? Come on, where did it come from? God sent bread from heaven. If God can send bread from heaven, can he not take care of you? Also in Ruth 1:6, Naomi heard that there was bread in Israel, that God had sent bread to Israel when they needed it. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I present to you evidence Z. I didn't number these, so I'm just... Deuteronomy 11. Oh, this is good. Verse 7. My goodness, this will make you shout. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. How many has seen some great acts that God has done for you? Well, is he going to be different tomorrow? Listen, God never wakes up with a bad hair day. God never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. God never sleeps, so he doesn't wake up. Okay? Therefore, shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day? You got to follow instructions. If you want God to provide for you, you got to follow his instructions. Okay? That you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. Did God give Israel land? Absolutely. That you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them and to their seed, a land that flows with milk and honey. For the land where you go to possess it, is it not the land of Egypt from, is it not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it by your foot as a garden? But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water from the rain of heaven. Can God provide for your land? Your land drinks water from heaven. You know, there's plenty of scriptures about God preserving you in a drought. Okay? Verse 12, a land which the Lord your God cares for. When you go out to mow your grass, say, what are you doing? Say, oh, God's just caring for my land. Amen? Well, as you're mowing that grass, you just know that God's caring for your land. Oh, you walk on the land and say, grass, you're cared for by God. Grass, God cares about you. Weeds, I curse you, but grass, God cares about you. It's a land that God cares for. Did you know that your land, it involves anything that brings you income? In that day, they were a farming-based community. So your land is the things that bring you income. Did you know that God cares about you getting income? You know, God will bless you with abundant ways of income. Okay. For verse 12, the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn, your wine, and your oil. I will send grass in your fields for your cattle, that you may eat and be full. Does that sound like God providing? Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. All right? If you look up Job 38:39-41, God had a conversation about who provides for the animals. You know, he was having that conversation. Were you there when I created everything, Job? Well, God was saying, "How do you provide prey for the lions?" You know, usually lions have pretty much to eat. Now, guess what? You're better than a lion. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17, did God provide for Elijah? He certainly did. If God provided for Elijah, he'll provide for you. All right, I'm almost done. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? wait a minute now. I shall not want. Why? Why don't you want? Because I got a good shepherd. My good shepherd takes care of what I want. There was a time when Gabriel wanted an Xbox and the good shepherd provided him one. Yeah, Gabriel wanted an Xbox. And so we said, okay, Gabriel, let's pray. We prayed. Within 2 days, someone, less than 24 hours, someone came to the church and they said, I got this Xbox that I want to get rid of. And he gave Gabriel an Xbox with games. How'd that happen? God provided. I'm telling you, Gabriel inspires me. Psalm 65, verses 9 through 10, God provides for the earth. Psalm 68, verse 9, God confirms his inheritance. Your inheritance is benefits. And finally, Psalm 121, 3 and 4, God will keep you. That's just a partial list. Are you convinced that God is your provider? If you believe God is your provider and you can't, stand up right now. And here's what I want to do tonight. You know, when someone does something good for you, what do you tell them? When someone gives you a gift, what do you tell them?
Thank you.
So tonight we're going to have a thank you Jesus party. Amen. And we're going to thank him for providing our needs, our wants, and our desires. Amen? Amen? I don't care what the need is. Have you met my God?
Amen.
He's big. I mean, it takes mountains to hold up his feet. He put the stars in with his fingers. Some of the plagues were just the finger of God moving. Well, money doesn't grow on trees. No, but God's got people on earth with money. They can give it to you. God doesn't rain money from heaven, but he'll send someone in your path if you need it. When I was younger and I was available, and I was able, every time I needed money, God sent me a job. Now, the job that I always got, you know, I have not been out of work since I was 16, and I'm 45 now. But, see, here's the thing. Some people don't look at an opportunity as provision. But it is. Listen, don't get caught up in the avenue that God uses. If you need money and God wants to give you a job, that's fine. Or he can send someone to give it to you. Or, other things. God has many ways of getting it to you. Don't worry about how. Just know that he will. So we're going to thank God right now. And I want you to thank him for your needs. And I want you to call out your needs to him. Make it, verbalize it, and call God. Say, God, you're a provider of that need. Whatever that need is, you call that need and you say, God, you're a provider of that need. Amen? So, Father, we give you thanks and praise right now. Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Lord, you make sure that we lack no good thing. Lord, you provide us with all good things to enjoy. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. We call every need met by your provision. We say, Jehovah Jireh, you provide my needs. You provide my wants. You provide my desires. You make a way where there is no way. Lord, you keep me. You sustain me. You do good things for me. You show me favor. You hook me up with divine connections in the name of Jesus. You make things happen. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every investment that we have in the name of Jesus, it's growing, it's increasing, it's multiplying, it's protected from destruction in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to retirement accounts. I call those retirement accounts to prosper and to increase, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you're my Jehovah Jireh. Make it personal. Say, you're my provider. You provide me with what I need, want, and desire in the name of Jesus. Just like you did for Abraham, just like you did for Elijah, just like you did for Isaac, just like you did for Jacob, just like you did for David, just like you did for Ruth, just like you did for Esther. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Thank you, Lord, for giving us good things to enjoy in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for meeting that need. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Les, if you can, put Romans 8:32 up on the screen. I want to leave you with this verse of encouragement. Romans 8:32. This is awesome. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. For who? For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. God is the giver of all things. He gives to you all things freely to enjoy. So I want you to tap in to God as your provider. Young people, your parents aren't your provider. God is ultimately your provider. Go to God when you have a need. And if God uses your parents, so be it, but he can use other means. Amen. Just know that God is your provider. He will provide. He knows what you need before you even do. And he'll have it ready for you. So you just keep following God. You just stay on his path and you'll get everything provided for you. If you're going to Israel, God will provide. He'll provide. No matter where you are. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There's got to be a hill near you somewhere with some cattle on it. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're our divine provider. You're our good Father. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for providing for us in the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you as our provider. We magnify you. We lift up your name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give him all the praise, all the glory. Proclaim his name. Declare his name. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Someone say, praise the Lord. Now, don't be tempted to worry. You got to be like Abraham. If a bill comes in, just say, God, you got some mail. You will not be overwhelmed. You will not go under. You're going to make it to wherever God has for you. Amen. So thank you for giving me the extra time tonight. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night.